Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now can see. 'Twas grace.
We are in chapter 8 of Joel Goldsmith's book, Living by Grace, The Path to Inner Discovery. Chapter 8, Message to Teachers on the Spiritual Path. And so I just want to open with a prayer. Dear Mother, Father, everything, Almighty Heavenly God, how grateful we are to be centered in your word, to be centered in your study, to be centered in your truth. We bless each and every person on the call, and we bless Joel Goldsmith and his organization. We bless the continued growth of his teachings, and we bless the divine ideas that flow through each and every one of us. And we bless the community of Spirit Move. In all these things, we are grateful. And so we say, amen. And so he says that the ministry of truth tempts many to enter the path to gratify their egos in being known as a practitioner or a teacher or a lecturer or a leader, or for some other desire for personal gratification. And so this raises the issue that we have to be careful, that we have to be sure that we have received the signal within, which is our passport on the journey. That we have been called to be the teachers that we are, and that we are not simply seeking teaching to satisfy our own egos. The greatest temptation above all others is having one's own concept of truth, not spirit's concepts, not a concept that was divine through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, but having our own egotistical notion of truth. Complete discipleship comes only when all sense of personal knowledge of truth disappears. While we are on earth, there is never a time when we are outside the range of temptation, because temptation is subtle. It can appear as the desire for prestige, for wealth, or for fame, or it can appear as the temptation to wield power. And so once an individual has been touched by the Spirit, people believe that it is not possible for them to sin. But of course, we know that that is true, because as long as we are in the world, we are subject to the energy that is in the environment. The Bible is filled with people who succumb to temptation. We are reading the book of Kings, and we see one king after the other who succumbs to temptation. I was working on my lesson, an overview of the kings, and I was just finished working on Solomon, who undoubtedly is a perfect example of temptation with not one or two or three, but 1,000 wives. There was Judas, Joel says. There was Lot's wife. There was Peter who denied the master. Even Jesus was tempted three times, although he did not succumb to those temptations. The person on the spiritual path, even if they are at a beginner's level, should become conscious of the fact that a wrong done by him or her is far more serious than a wrong done by others. A wrong done under the robe of the Spirit is a crime against the Spirit. So important for us to understand that when we are given much, when we are given an awareness of our divine connection to Spirit, much is expected of us. There is only one consciousness. So once God consciousness has become the consciousness of the teacher and the teacher violates that God consciousness, the penalty is great. That teacher loses the God consciousness. It is of utmost importance, therefore, that everyone on the spiritual path, but especially those who would be teachers, maintain at all times a high degree of spiritual integrity. So important for all of us to remember, and a reminder of the seriousness of this work that we are doing in the Spirit. Healing work cannot be done with the mind, just as God cannot be reached through the mind. If you knew all the truth in metaphysical textbooks, such as Science and Health with Key to Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, or Lessons in Truth by H. Emil Cady, or The Infinite Way by Joel Goldsmith, you still could not heal, because healing is not done by the intellect. Healing is not done by the mind. Healing is not done by knowledge. Healing is not done by us. Healing is not done by formula. It is not done by statements of truth. No matter how much we know about the letter of the truth, it will do very little for us unless we have attained a measure of spiritual consciousness. The principles of healing that constitute the message of the infinite way can be found throughout Joel Goldsmith's writings. He says if we have been learning and practicing the principles, we have at the same time been developing the spiritual consciousness that is necessary to make those principles operate. Those who have studied Christian Science or Unity or Divine Science or one of the authentic New Thought teachings have also developed a spiritual consciousness sufficiently to take the infinite way principles and work with them understandingly. And so he shares with us a quote from his book, The Infinite Way, which was published in 1961. In the infinite way, we find a great deal on developing spiritual consciousness. And here is a passage from the book. One of the greatest spiritual teachers who ever walked this earth has told us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word becomes the living waters, The word is our protection. The word is our safety. The word is our security. And as we go about our task and our duties, even though we may go through deep waters, we may be tried in the fire of experience, the waters will not overflow us and the flames will not kindle upon us if the word of God is in us and with us. Let's just take a moment to lift up that consciousness that we can go through the waters and we can go through the fire, that we can go through whatever it is in our environment, that we can go through the appearance of dis-ease, that we can go through the appearance of lack and limitation, but nothing will kindle upon us, nothing will hold us back. Nothing will stand in the way of our good if the word of God is in us and with us. We have to understand that the message, this message of the infinite way, is not to give the world a new teaching, but to give the world an experience. How beautiful is that? As the scripture says, there is nothing new under the sun, but we can experience the world in a new way. The infinite way is actually a God experience. A Christ experience. The infinite way is not in its writings. It's not in its lectures or its classes. These are but instruments leading us to the infinite way. And the infinite way itself is the God experience. So often we move forward in our lives reacting to people, reacting to situations, reacting to what we think somebody else thinks or says about us. We are reacting to the appearances in the world when we need to act through the consciousness and the presence of God. God is always blessing us and leading us and guiding us and protecting us. And so when we have the God experience, we lift up this awareness of absolute good in every dealing, in every conversation, in every word that we speak, in every step that we take up. An intellectual knowledge of truth is of no benefit in developing our spiritual life or developing our eternality and immortality. Neither is it of benefit in bringing health to this physical frame. Only as we are spiritually attuned to the center of our being, which is God, only as we are in attunement with the source of life, in that proportion we are fed by the waters of life, by the living waters, fed by the manna of life, by the bread, fed by that infinite sustenance that flows through the universe in God's divine ideas, always blessing us, always restoring us through every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Without spiritual discernment, none of this is possible. Now, anybody can read scripture. Anybody can read metaphysics textbooks. but only those who have received some measure of inner illumination, some measure of inner attunement, can heal. Therefore, our major work is developing inner attunement. And thinking about the process of developing inner attunement, I am reminded by someone in the workplace, someone who was being very difficult and disruptive and had said all kinds of things. But when you sit in a consciousness of spirit, when you experience the world from God consciousness, all you have to do is be the divine energy that you are, and people will change before your very eyes. They will find themselves so attracted to you, wanting to be in your presence, creating in themselves a new consciousness by simply being in the presence of God expressing as who you are. When we have the correct letter of truth along with it, along with the word, along with what we read, along with how we develop our inner attunement, we can do healing work. It can work either way, Joel says. It is possible to first become spiritually illumined and then learn the correct letter of truth. And I often mention this about our Sunday lessons because we have the benefit of so many wonderful tools on the Truth Unity website, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. We have the benefit of the scripture, but we also have the benefit of the Holy Spirit. We can Google, we can look up whatever information that we want, and we can work with that information, but it is just a tool to center us in the consciousness of God so that God can give us the message that we need to deliver. God experience is God expressing through us in a unique and individual way. It is possible to work faithfully with the correct letter of truth by building on it, by practicing it. As we mentioned on Sunday, we have to be immersed in it. It is not a once a week experience. It is that we not only pray when we get up and meditate when we get up in the morning, but that we pray, that we practice the presence without ceasing. Only then do we begin the process of developing spiritually. And here, even here, Joel cautions us that we have to be careful. Careful because everything that is published as truth is not truth. And there is a reason for this, which would probably take far too long to explain completely. But Joel says beyond the physical, there are two levels of consciousness. The mental, as we know, and the spiritual. In the earliest days of introspection, many people turned inward and touched the mental realm because it was something greater than what they had ever known. They thought that they had reached the kingdom of God. That was, he says, Mr. Quimby's primal mistake. He touched the mental realm and he dressed it up by calling it God, calling it Christ and spirit and prayer. And he was really responsible for much of the mistaken teachings in the world. And Mrs. Eddy took Mr. Quimby's mental teaching and in the same way embroidered her message with the same names. And in her mental teaching, she states that sin, ignorance, and fear are the procuring causes of all diseases. She did not go beyond this mental teaching until many, many years later. And we were talking about that before, because that is this aspect of cause and effect. That is what we talk about when we talk about karma, that we have created these states through sin, through ignorance and fear. In Mrs. Eddy's spiritual teachings, she goes beyond this mental teaching when she says that neither disease itself nor sin nor fear has the power to cause disease or relapse. In other words, in the mental realm, you find mental cause for disease. Whenever you stop at the mental level and believe you have attained the kingdom of God, you are indulging in a false Christ. The Master Jesus warned us that there would be false Christs come in my name. You can always recognize one from the other because in the mental realm, there are two powers, good and evil. You can do good with your mind and you can do evil with your mind. On the level of the mental plane of thinking in the three-dimensional world, but in the world, in the spiritual realm, there is neither good nor evil. There is only God, the Spirit, which is perfection, which is wholeness and completeness and harmony. This is the realm of grace. In the spiritual realm, you do not even have one power because there is no need of power. God alone is. And there is not anything to use a power on, for, or against. This is what we mean when we say, I come to God asking for nothing, because I have everything that I need. Be assured that as long as you are playing around with mental causes or reasons for physical disease or poverty, you will never develop your spiritual consciousness. To develop your spiritual consciousness, you have to work with a spiritual principle that is based entirely on God as spirit and entirely on the revelation that appears to us as sin, disease, and death, or even the mental causes for those. These are illusions without foundation and have no law of God to support them. You have to work with a principle in which you learn to live and move and have your being in one life, one soul, one spirit, one law. And then you can realize this world can have no power over me. Only the power which is of God has power over me. How often do we subject our things, our thoughts to the things of the world? In this way, we develop the very spiritual consciousness. When we realize that the world has no power over us, we develop the very spiritual consciousness that brings about healing. These principles are presented very clearly and concisely in Joe's classes, and we have tapes of those classes. We study them and we work with them for the development of our spiritual consciousness. These principles are extracted from his writings, and we're familiar with the Art of Spiritual Healing, the Infinite Way Letters, and many, many other books since Joel has passed away. He suggests working with the tape recording of his classes, and we will utilize those more and more and more in the upcoming months and years. These recordings will bring us far along in learning these principles and how to apply them. And through their practice will bring forth healing fruitage. Let's open up our hearts to accept this transformation in consciousness and using these divine tools, and allow spirit to present us with the perfect divine opportunities to be still and to be obedient, to study and to listen this prophetic word. All serious students can be healers in whatever degree they themselves determine, but only those whom God has led to the study of a spiritual and a metaphysical teaching. The others are not yet ready to read and understand what they read, and we know that because we meet people like that. We meet people who are not ready to study the word and understand it and interpret it and engage in discussions and studies like this one. But those like you, Joel says, who have been led to such a message as this and have spent years studying and now devote days and weeks and months to the practice of the principles of the Infinite Way must develop a healing consciousness. The degree of healing consciousness will depend on how much time and effort you devote to reading, to meditating, to pondering, and treating. In the beginning, you may give thousands of treatments and not see enough fruitage to warrant your continuing, but that happens to everyone. Everyone, Joel says, goes through difficult days until they become so immersed in the Spirit and the Spirit in us, and the principle so certain that we never lift our thoughts to fighting an evil or discord, until we never strive to overcome or remove a condition, until with every erroneous appearance that is presented to us, we immediately have an inner recognition that the carnal mind is not power, that what is not of God is not power, that what does not emanate from God has no law of God to sustain it. But remember that merely declaring this truth, beloved, will not make it so. Only as this truth becomes so much a part of you that it is your very consciousness, will it then become so. What a wonderful reminder of how in depth our study and our commitment must be, until we reach the point that we don't realize the separation or the distance or the need to bring forth a meditative state, that we are constantly and meditating and praying without ceasing because we are in that consciousness of being still and knowing that we are one with God. Whenever you find a consistently good healing practitioner, remember it is because of his or her degree of evolved spiritual consciousness. And Joel often talks about the practitioner that he went to, who spent his Saturdays, meditating and praying all day. And Joe insisted that the practitioner work with him because Joe was really ill. And the practitioner decided that he would give him an hour or two of his day. And what Joe said, that within the first few seconds, he was already healed. And with the other time, he was basically being converted to this new way of thinking. He was basically having his consciousness shifted because of the dynamic energy of this person who was so dedicated. And he says it made him realize the importance of study, the importance of commitment to truth. The master teacher, Jesus, was the greatest healer because he had the greatest degree of evolved spiritual consciousness. If a practitioner could rise to the absolute zenith of Christ consciousness, the chances are that few, if any, would be left unhealed. But no one can heal everybody who seeks healing. It takes years and years to understand why all of us are not healed all of our troubles all of the time. Unless you have spiritual discernment, words are meaningless. You must therefore develop your spiritual discernment so that you will instinctively and automatically know the meaning of esoteric language. For example, the word within does not mean within something. It does not mean within the body. Before the Master Jesus used the word within, God was thought of as being in heaven, up on a cloud where Moses went. God was thought of as something to be attained or discovered or reached on a holy mountain or in a holy temple. The Master Jesus used the word within to bring God down from the clouds and to make God closer to you than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. And yet not inside your body. The Master Jesus used the word within to bring God down from the clouds and make God closer to you than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. And yet not inside of our bodies, because the presence of God is too large, too magnificent, too awesome to be locked inside of a body as small as ours. Solomon said that as big and wonderful and as holy and as dedicated as his great temple in Jerusalem was, it could not contain God. Sojourner Truth makes this observation when one day she suddenly had a premonition that a former slave master was coming to get her, and she stood there and she said she realized in that instant that God was so big, that God was bigger than anything she could ever imagine. And you know, that former slave master came and he looked at her and he turned and walked away. And in that instant, she was liberated, not only in the spirit, but also in the flesh. How can your body contain God? We can only understand the word within to mean within and without, up or down, filling all space, not confined or localized, and yet not separate and apart from us. Within. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is everywhere present. The kingdom of God is where we live and move and have our being in, not separate from, but one with God. A second example Job gives us is that there is a sin unto death. 2 John 5:16. There is a sin unto death. 2 John 5:16. Is there an unforgivable sin? In the Hebrew teachings, there are two unforgivable sins, murder and adultery. Moses killed a man, yet he became the leader of the Hebrews, their liberator, their savior, and evidently God forgave Moses, or Moses would have never attained that height. To the woman taken in adultery, the master Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." I can assure you that if those two sins were forgiven by God, then there is no unforgivable sin. A third example Job gives, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Is it possible for a soul to die? Do you not see that it is all a matter of semantics? Then to what do these Bible references have meaning? They have meaning to the interpretations put on them by minor prophets. In the same way today, ministers and priests tell their people things that are not true and not even a part of their teaching. At the moment, it helps them to maintain discipline. I remember such a case, Joel says. A Roman Catholic priest told a couple who had been unable to attend Mass one Sunday that there was no possibility of their being forgiven. They would have to be in purgatory for thousands of years for that one offense, and that if it happened a second time, it would probably be totally unforgivable. He thought that this lie, this misstatement, this untruth would drive them to attend Mass for fear of eternal damnation. How unfortunate is that? I'm sure that many of the things that have come down to us in religious literature represent only a temporary interpretation by somebody trying to enforce discipline. Because no one of mystical enlightenment has ever taught that there is unforgivable sin. Mysticism, which is conscious contact with God, always reveals, "Neither do I condemn thee. Though your sins be scarlet, you will be white as snow. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God's rain falls on the just and the unjust. Everybody who has attained conscious realization of God has received this same revelation, and it is found in the teachings of the mystics. So do not quibble about words, Joel says. Do not strain at gnats while swallowing elephants. Remember, too, not all that is published as truth is truth. And so go within for spiritual meanings and unfoldment, and they will always come to you. As Jesus said, "I am sending you a teacher who will live in you and be in you, a teacher and a counselor and a guide," which is everywhere around us, and every thought, idea, and everything that the universe gives to us. There is spirit always teaching us, always giving us a power of discernment. Go beyond the words into the spirit. As we turn to the within, we find solutions to our individual problems so that we do not have to steal, we do not have to lie or cheat or defraud or murder. I know all these appearances. I was part of the human world long enough to know all of its arguments. But I say there is no need for such solutions because there is a withinness. Turn to the Father within. Turn to the kingdom within. Turn to the divine presence. Turn to the vortex. Turn to the inexhaustible supply. Turn to the spirit. Turn to the grace. Turn to the bountiful, infinite love that is everywhere present. The only way I know how to do this is to close my eyes to the without. Let us close our eyes to the without and center on the divine within that moves through us the perfect power, peace, and love of wisdom that is pure spirit, the pure consciousness of God. Let the Father within, the infinite, divine, spiritual consciousness reveal to us the solution to our problems. When our consciousness becomes imbued with the divine, it has healing power. Let us accept the healing power that is present here and now in these words of God that lift us up, that sustain us, that anoint us, that give us the breath of new life. As individual consciousness becomes imbued with the divine, the human consciousness begins to fade away, and all that is left is the divine. Now, ultimately, somebody may come to the fullness of that mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, and lift the whole world. Are you with me, beloved? Are you with me, beloved? Someone may come to the fullness of that mind, the same mind that was in Jesus Christ, and lift the whole world. Do not think for a minute that God is limited to providing a solution only for your little problems. That would be a sad kind of God to worship. God can solve a problem of national import without inflating your ego, even if the solution that would save the entire world came through you, there would be no room for the inflation of your ego. You would be merely the instrument through which the solution came. And so as we near the end of this lesson, I want to lift up this basic principle. Always turn to the within for the solution to a problem. Whether it is a problem for you, your family, your neighbor, your patient, your student. Even if it is a national or an international problem, if there is a problem of weather or epidemic in your city, if there is a national lesson coming up, do not be afraid to go to the Father within for the answer. And so I'm going to end our lesson right here. Do not be afraid to go to the Father within. Do not be afraid to go to the Mother, everything, Almighty God. Do not be afraid to just simply center in this consciousness of oneness, this consciousness where we realize the presence and the power of grace. We open up our circle to reflect on this power and this present this presence that is always expressing as us, always guiding us. And we lift up these divine teachings of Joel Goldsmith. We lift up this community of like minds as we study on this powerful path of truth. And we just fill this moment with the supreme presence and the love of gratitude, a heart that is grateful for this within consciousness, this consciousness of the purity and the pure presence of God. We lift up this new awareness that surrenders completely to spirit and just allows it to breathe through us, to express through us, to surround us within all that it is. How grateful we are. We bless each and every one of you, each and every person on the call, each and every one who hears this lesson. We are so incredibly grateful for this opportunity to know that we live by grace. We live by grace. We live by grace. And so it is. So let it be. Amen.